The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, with the wave, here live at Circa. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Well, you know, the dream is dead, but
It was what it was.
It was. Listen, it was what it was.
And we're done.
I appreciate all sending me their best, but again, it was always, wow, they're going to make the playoffs. Wow, at the most, they can win one game. And then when they beat Detroit, we're talking about the Washington Commodores. 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl, your brain does toggle to, wait a minute,
yeah,
they go to the Super Bowl. But as soon as you don't, you're like, hey, this was the greatest thing ever.
Wait, that's how you're feeling today?
100%.
I was wondering about you because we talked about that all last week 100%. Of like, oh man, the dream kind of just became a little bit more real. And it was like, I don't know if this was more of a disappointing letdown that, you know, than you thought it was going to be.
I said it with Theismann on last week. I said the same thing. It's like your brain sort of toggles because you get so close to it. Your brain does toggle into, wait a minute, this could happen.
As it should, I think.
But as it should. But you don't, I mean, that, what a ride, what a season. What a future, $90 million in cap space with Jaden Daniels as your quarterback on a rookie deal. Now, you can't ask for more than that.
Can I start with a quick, are you sure or are we sure?
Yes.
Are we sure Jaden Daniels isn't the best quarterback in the NFC?
Oh, no, he's absolutely the best quarterback in the NFC. I thought I was waiting for what was coming after the F. I was going to be like, yeah, we're sure about that. He's probably the fifth best, right? Because you gotta go Mahomes and Allen and Jackson, and who am I forgetting? Burrow. And then I think it's Daniels.
And then I think he's in the conversation after that. It is incredible. What a year.
Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, who are headed to Super Bowl 59, a rematch of their Super Bowl from 2 years ago. Super Bowl 59, or as Gronk says in that one commercial, Super Bowl licks. That's in New Orleans in 13 days. We've got 13 days to go through it all every which way. Remember that Super Bowl, the Chiefs won by 3 points amid some controversy per some Eagles fans. Let's go through these games yesterday one by one. By the way, the Chiefs 1.5 point favorites installed. You can't make a bet until it's installed. Installed is 1.5 point favorites in Super Bowl 59. We begin with the NFC. What are you smiling at?
I got an ESPN notification on my phone last night where it said Chiefs installed. Is 1.5 point favorites.
You got to install. It's an installation. How do you think you guys bet on this stuff? It's an installation. That's how it happens. We begin with the NFC Championship yesterday.
Yeah,
we'll start there.
Sure.
Because it's not your traditional guessing lines. Philadelphia 55, Washington 23. In a game that in one respect wasn't that big, in another respect was that big of a margin, figuratively speaking. 55-23, congratulations to the Eagles. And let me just say this up top for Eagles fans. You're going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. Jalen Hurts, Tony Sirianni, and the Eagles going to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. Lamar Jackson has never been to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has never been to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl once. You're going twice in 3 years. So shout out to the Philadelphia Eagles, who, and I've been a critic of Sirianni through time. Not so much of Hurts, but of Sirianni for sure. Good on them. Good on them, and they deserve it here. This game yesterday starts after Washington gets the ball first. After 2 third-down conversions, 4th and 5 at the Philly 43 to Ertz for 7. Then 4th and 2 at the Philly 28, Jaden for 5. Then 4th and 3 at the Philadelphia 24. Dan Quinn says, let's just kick the field goal. Zane Gonzalez, 34-yard field goal, 3-0 Washington. On an 18-play drive, 7:57 left in the first quarter, the drive took over 7 minutes. 18 plays. Were you surprised that after the 2 fourth-down conversions, he decided, let's just kick the field goal here?
Gil, surprised? I don't know after the full 2 games if anything was more shocking from a head coaching standpoint than that call to me.
Yeah.
Like, what? You were going for it on fourth downs before in the drive, and you stopped right there? You're like the best fourth-down team of all time, and you settled for a field goal there?
It was a little odd.
I was shocked.
It was a little odd.
It felt like the big moment had gotten there. It's like, oh, let's just take the points.
It was a little odd. I would imagine his thinking that made him do that was, if we end up with 0 after 18 plays, that's not something I want to be a part of, which would not have been the correct thinking, but I think that's what overrode it.
No,
for
I think you're right. Yeah. And I think that's, it's the big stage, right? You can't possibly have a drive like this in the NFC Championship and come away with 0 points.
So 18 plays that took over 7 minutes. Washington gets 3 points. You know what Philadelphia does? How about one play that takes 18 seconds that gets them seven? Saquon, 59 yards to the hizzy, when both Chin and Martin just completely whiff on him. Can't get him on the ground. 7-3 Philly, 18 seconds later. Washington first to their own 39 to Diami for six, punched out by Zach Bond. A portent of things to come. Recovered by Reed Blankenship. And Philadelphia cashed in on all Washington turnovers. Washington would end up -4 in turnovers, particularly the first three of those, leading to 21 Philadelphia points. The fourth one did technically, but that was a full field anyway. So punched out by Zach Bond, recovered by Reed Blankenship. Philly set up at the Washington 48. First and 10 at the Washington 38 to Devontae for 20. He may or may not have been out of bounds with his second foot. Skins don't challenge it. Should have. Not sure it would have succeeded, yeah, but should have challenged it. Three plays later, Saquon in from 14-3 Philly, 3:43 left in the first quarter. After a Washington three and out, they're in punt formation. Tress Way, fake! 4th and 6 from their own 31. Hits Ben Sinnott from Kansas State for 23. Leads to Gonzalez, 46-yard field goal, 14-6 Philly, early second quarter. Then Philadelphia, 3rd and 1 at the Washington 32. It's your first Tuchus push of the day. Hurts for 1. I wasn't sure he got it, by the way. There was no replay to show that he did. Have to settle, though, for an Elliott 54-yard field goal try after Luvu times his blitz perfectly and sacks Hurts. No good wide right. Here come the Skins, down 1 score. One possession. Washington, 5 plays, 56 yards, only took 144. Daniels to the incomparable Terry McLaurin for 36. 2-point try fails. It's 14-12 Eagles. 7:05 left in the second quarter, but then Philly marches right back. 12 plays, 72 yards, 5:21 off the clock. 3rd and 1 at their own 37. Another Tuchus push. Hurts for 1. Again, I guess. 4th and 5 at the Washington 45. Saquon completely holds Luvu. No call to Brown for 31 at the 2-minute warning. Eventually, P.I. called on Lattimore in the end zone. That was a correct call. Hurts in from 120-12 with 137 left, and then Lattimore gets into it with A.J. Brown, and only Lattimore gets flagged for the unsportsmanlike. I'm like, really? Yeah, only he got flagged? So they get the ball at the 1, and now they decide, well, we'll just Tuchus push this in here. They don't get it. They don't get it.
Is that that's also when the 7 alternate refs made an appearance. Did you catch that line?
Oh, no, I did not.
I learned so much about the NFL. Oh, I love these playoff weekends where I learned so much about the league. But there's 7 alternate refs standing on the sideline.
It's 20-12 now, Philly. Washington suing kickoff. And again, here's where it's just like, if you're a Washington fan or a Washington backer, you're like, this isn't going to be our day. Jeremy McNichols fumbles. Gainwell recovers. So Philadelphia, at the end of the half, instead of being up 20-12 at best, only gets the ball at the Washington 24 with 136 left. Second play, Hurts. Would be touchdown run called back by a hold, but on third, Sanra still is called for a hit out of bounds on Saquon, which is the correct call, but man, was Sanra still in a tough position there. Because you always think Saquon's going to try to smash into you, but he takes a step to the right, and then you hit him and he gets flagged. Yeah. It's a correct call, though. Leads to Hurts to Brown, 4-yard touchdown pass, 27-12 Philly with 39 seconds left in the second quarter. So a double dip chance for Philly, but Washington takes over at their own 30. 4 plays that led to a Gonzalez 42-yard field goal. Jaden for 19 was the big one. Also included an encroachment on Jalen Carter, who just poked Beatis in the eye. So it was 27-15 at the half. So if you're a Washington fan or backer, you're a little more happy with it because of that field goal. But by the way, the encroachment on Jalen Carter, once you encroach, you can just do whatever you want to the offensive lineman. I'm going to poke you in the eye. Let's see. You know, and the refs don't call it. You're like, okay, so just 5 yards for that? 27-15 Eagles at the half after a couple 3-and-outs to start the second. Philadelphia, 4 plays, 58 yards, took 149. Hurts to Goddard for 26, the big chunk. Hurts in from 9 on the next play. 34-15 Eagles. At this point, you're like, okay, let's see. Is this game over? It is not. Because Washington then goes 8 plays, 70 yards. Daniels in from 10. 2-point try to Zacchaeus. Good. It's 34-23 Philly. 5:01 left in the third quarter. And then, by the way, 2 linemen were downfield on that 2-point conversion. Uncalled. Replay can take it off, but not add it, apparently. Add that to your what did you learn about the NFL. Replay can take it off, but cannot add it. Philadelphia with the ball up 11. Luvu breaks up a handoff, forces Philly to punt. So Washington down 11 with the ball at their own 49. I mean, this is on at this point still. But here's the play that I think swung it for good. First and 10 at their own 49, Jaden to Eckler, hit by Oren Brooks, fumbles recovered by Bond. Now, I have a lot of Washington, you know, friend fans who are like, ah, if we just didn't have those turnovers, man, this would have been a great game. Yeah, but you got to give the Eagles credit for these turnovers. These weren't unforced errors. In fact, that one by Oren Burks on Eckler might have been the best of it all. Eckler's got the ball. He's untouched on the ground. So as he's getting up and as he's using his strength to get up, right at that moment where the human body is using the strength to get up, but your ball security is going to be just minimized a little bit, poke right at that very second. Beautiful play. So Philly immediately capitalizes. Five plays, 51 yards, set up at their own 49. Third play, Barkley, 21-yard run that sets up Philly at the Washington 1. After Washington called for offside, Hurts collects the snap but is stopped. Second down, Luvu, Superman style, soars offside not once but twice. And Sean Hockley warns everybody that they can get an unsportsmanlike if they do it again. Luvu's like smiling at this point. Third time encroachment on Jonathan Allen, unrelated. Hockley now says to the audience, he can give Philadelphia a touchdown if it happens again. By the way, the referee awards a touchdown.
What?
The referee awards a touchdown to a team that has been denied one by a palpably unfair act, unquote.
And Pereira warned before they came out and said that, right?
I just want to ask this for gambling purposes, and we'll continue this after the break. But for gambling purposes, I just want to ask, because there's any time touchdown stuff, if that were to happen, if Sean Hockley were to have awarded a touchdown to the Philadelphia Eagles without a play, right? Does in the box score, what happens there? Does Hurts get the touchdown? Does the center get the touchdown? Or does the team just get some nebulous touchdown?
Probably that one, but yeah.
I have no idea. I'd love to know the answer to it.
And are we going
to
start adding that for anytime touchdown for the Super Bowl?
What are the odds on that? By the way, though, this was a game until that Eckler fumble, and that's when things turned. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get ready for big game 59 with a big deal. Score $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. For just $181, you get a full year of VSiN Pro access to everything we offer, including daily best bets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access, plus our Super Bowl betting guide with expert picks, predictions, and prop betting strategies to help you win big. Special offer ends after the Super Bowl, so don't miss out. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
As in a new Gil.
To get a full year VSiN Pro for just $181. That's VSiN.com, VSIN.com/subscribe. I don't know what that means, but okay.
You want to be making up stuff again. I'm making stuff up.
Okay, good call. We get tweets at the book. I just want to read this one. I'll read a couple here. This one's from New York Mess 16. Scott Gill, you're still confused by NFL rules? A nebulous touchdown? Don't forget the receiving touchdown without having a reception. NFL football, it's fantastic. Oh, wait, that's the NBA, he says. James Moran. We've seen games where teams are taking knees and defenses are trying to let them score. Does the offense have to take the touchdown in that situation? Or could a team with a clock stopped keep jumping off sides until the refs give them a touchdown to get the ball back? Well, that was confusing. I do know one thing from the pool afterwards, because they were asking Hockley about this. Wait a minute. You could have just given an unsportsmanlike. Wait a minute. You could have just given them a touchdown then afterwards based on your two directions that you gave the audience. If someone asked, someone goes, well, if you're stopping Washington from doing that, can't you just stop Philadelphia from giving the hard count to try to induce it? Like, isn't that your responsibility also? And his response was, no, the play clock is what stops the offense from doing that. So in other words, they can only do it till the play clock runs out. But with the defense, you have to adjudicate it that way, basically. I'm paraphrasing.
I do feel like I've heard the personal foul warning before, but... Never
could just give you a touchdown.
Never we're just going to give him a score.
If somebody knows the answer to that question I was asking, I would love to know who gets the touchdown for Philly at that
point. Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah. Let's just go back to that real quick. So it's 34-23, and Washington has the ball after Luvu sacks Jaden, right? But it's the Jaden Eckler play.
Yeah.
That's the one, right? Hit by Oren Burks. Great play by Burks. Fumbles, Bond recovers, and the Eagles matriculate to the one. That's when the Luvu Superman thing happens twice in a row. And then Allen with the encroachment, and Hockley warns, we can give you an unsportsmanlike. We can give you the free touchdown. Hurts scores anyway, right? 41-23, because at that point, the ball's at the millimeter line. 41-23, early fourth quarter. And now the competitive portion of the game truly ended When Washington, 4th and 6 at their own 34, they actually go to Ertz for 8. But then 3 plays later, it's 4th and 12 at their own 40, and Jaden is sacked by Nolan Smith. And that wrapped up the competitive portion of this ballgame. Philly set up at the Washington 31, 4 plays, Saquon in from 4, 48-23. Then after Jalen Carter takes... This was Jalen Carter, who didn't get flagged for the poking of the eye of Biotis. Biotis actually got his hand up in Jalen Carter's face mask. Jalen Carter takes a worldwide wrestling swing at Biotis. No call. No call whatsoever.
Yeah.
Jalen then takes a full in 3rd and 10 at the Philadelphia 28. Jaden Daniels picked by Quinion Mitchell in the end zone. Shipley then for 16. Then a big run for 57, and then 2 plays later, Will Shipley in from 2, 55-23 is how the scoring would end. Will Shipley, I believe, was 60-1 to score a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, 60-1. I heard a couple people, very smart of them, bet a live anytime touchdown on him when Gainwell went out.
Smart.
Because Eagles were starting to run up the score. Gainwell's smart. Out for the game. They're obviously going to go to someone else besides Saquon, and boom. It was like 10-1
Listen,
at that point.
You can't go -4 in turnovers. The first -3 being the important ones. You can't do that and expect to win an NFC championship at Philly. You can't.
No.
You can't. And by the way, you didn't get fumble luck, right? Philly recovered all 3 of your fumbles, whereas the Bills, by the way, fumbled 4 times and recovered them all in the next game. So, but fumble luck is fumble luck, right? So Philly absolutely, listen. There were periods of time during this NFL season, as we go back into the NFL season, try to remember where our brains were at different times. Most of the NFC season, if you will, the Detroit Lions were considered to be the best team in the NFC. I think it was early and I think it was late. Minnesota crept in there for a bit, but Philly had its moment in the middle of the season, if you recall. I think a lot of people sort of toggled to, wait, I don't know, maybe Philly's the best team in this conference. And then I don't know how people felt about them down the stretch, but here we are. And again, the Eagles in their second Super Bowl in 3 years and just a 1.5-point favorite. That's what the look ahead was. And that's what it came out as yesterday. I wonder if, and this is a modern day legalization gambling question, because the hubs of DraftKings, right, and all those, and all that stuff is in New Jersey. Right. That's where New Jersey was the first big state to hit. Do we get enough Philadelphia Eagles money where this toggles to the Eagles being the favorite when all is said and done?
Man, it's a great question. I would think betting's pretty equal on this game. I'd be shocked if one side was way heavier than the other.
What's your opinion on it? Was it because we already had an argument we were doing a bunch of stuff. By the way, Fezzik coming on later on the show. I spent most of the second half he was like, this is one of the greatest games of all time. Talk about the Eagles. Excuse me. Talk about the Bills and the Chiefs, which we'll get to. And I'm like, really, Steve? Is it like below the Ice Bowl, but ahead of the Chargers, Miami, Kellen Winslow game in the early 80s? One of the things we said right after the game, he immediately was like, Eagles plus the points. And my immediate reaction was, and this is not a knock Eagles fan, so please don't say this. This is a Patrick Mahomes thing, which we'll get to. If you're betting against Patrick Mahomes at this point and you lose, you kind of deserve it now at this point. Because we've all been there.
Yep.
I'm just saying. It's not an Eagles thing. Trust me, it's not. But for anybody now at this point, after all of this time is just so quick, like Stevie was yesterday, and Stevie's got his reasons, and he'll be able to say what they are now, right? Because maybe he feels like that's the best of it. Maybe he feels like what I just brought up, that the Eagles will take money and that the Eagles will end up as the favorite. So maybe for him, it's just a numbers play where he's like, I just want the best of it because you know how his brain works.
Mm-hmm.
But from a handicapping standpoint, agree or disagree with the statement, I don't know how you can race to bet against the Chiefs in anything anymore.
Agree. I mean, I have that AFC bet. I'm already kind of locked into the Chiefs side anyways. If I didn't have that kill, I wouldn't be making a bet yet on this game. I know that's no fun, but 1.5 points we're talking about, it looks pretty even to me. I think for me, the toughest thing to figure out was the questions I had heading into this game with Washington from the Philly side was, what was the status of Jalen Hurts in this passing game? And it looked great yesterday.
Yeah.
It looked like Jalen Hurts is completely fine. He made some big-time throws in that game. But then you got to factor in the defense that he's playing. And we know they're a bottom-half defense in the league. So is that going to translate to that same success over in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs?
I call the Skins defense middling.
Yeah.
And they were. They were like 18th, right? They're middling. They were better. People who said they sucked were underrating them. But they were never great. They were never good, right? They were middling.
I think from a props perspective, it's tough too in the Super Bowl because you know they're going to want to try to run the ball. How much are the Chiefs going to just sell out to stopping Saquon Barkley? And this could be a massive Jalen Hurts game potentially.
It'd be a massive Jalen Hurts game. Jalen Hurts, by the way, played great in that Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yep.
Probably would have been the MVP if the Eagles win that. But this is, to me, again, though, it's, all right, you just played a Washington team that was -4 in turnovers and who does have a middling defense. What's the likelihood of the Chiefs having that kind of a turnover difference against you? And the Chiefs defense is actually good. I don't, you know, props question is another one. But I'm just saying from the actual handicap of the spread and the game itself, you know, go against Patrick Mahomes at your own peril. By the way, the total 49.5. Do you have any opinion on that?
I feel like we're going to close higher than this. I think we're going to see into the 50s at some point.
That's just a human being's betting thing where the brains are wired for overs. And so that's,
I think. Plus what we saw out of I can't wait to hear Steve on with us later. I think there's reasons to be excited about Philadelphia and their offense heading into this game. But I don't know what you saw out of Kansas City yesterday that's leaving you less excited about them or anything like that. I mean, they were incredible.
They always figure out a way. You're really going to take Sirianni and Hurts over Reed and Mahomes? Okay, sure. And again, it's not. I just said it was
I'm
an
so
Eagles
glad
thing.
I have my
I would say
bet,
this about right? any team. I would. Fill in the blank. For whoever Reed and Mahomes are playing. At this point, because we'll get to this game here momentarily, but which Chiefs superlative, right, is the most incredible? And I guess you could take what I think is the most amazing one, and maybe you could spin it otherwise, which is they've won 17 one-score games in a row, 12 this season.
Incredible.
And now someone can immediately hear that and be like, they're due.
Yeah.
You can't go 18.
We talked a lot about this during the year, though. At some point, the fact that you have an all-time great quarterback and coach come into play with things like that.
Trying to be the first three-peaters in the Super Bowl era, the Chiefs. We'll get to the Chiefs and the Bills because a lot to talk about in that game. As the Chiefs head to their fifth Super Bowl in 6 years, this after just competing in their seventh straight AFC championship. I mean, Brady might be the GOAT, but Patrick Mahomes is knocking at the door if he hasn't busted through it yet. Coming back, Bills and Chiefs AFC Championship. That's next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue, born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouthwatering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQSauce.com. Flavor this good. Just a click away. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is from James Moran. We've seen games where teams are taking... Oh, I read that one already. Sorry. Tom Steffen, Angular Rhythm, said, different situation, but same rule nearly occurred years ago in a Monday night game when Bill Cowher jumped onto the field, narrowly avoiding a Jags player returning a game-winning field goal block. I remember that play.
Yeah.
That's a little different to me
because
you're impeding a play in progress.
The great Rob Moreno just sent me something about a 1950s play where that happened.
D-Gen Southern Gent sent about that. He said, a few people have probably shared this, but apparently a referee actually awarded the Rice Owls a touchdown after an Alabama player tripped up an Owls player running unimpeded to the end zone in the 1954 Cotton Bowl. Last time this rule was forced, as far as I know. But that, see, to me, that's different, though. This is a dead ball foul.
Yeah, no, it's different, but I think it does help. It helps this make a little bit more sense where it just, at least there's a good reason why a ref actually could award a score. Because I think in that situation, you should.
Yeah, I do too. But because you're trying to stop it.
I didn't even know you could do that.
But you're trying to stop a tuchus bush and the play hasn't even started. Ice cold gambler. How do you bet against Patrick Mahomes? I'll wait and hope this gets to a PK and be taking the Chiefs. The over looks mighty tempting also. Tim Thompson. Gil, I'm pretty sure would be rewarded as a team offensive touchdown and not to any specific player. I think you're right, Tim. There's a similar recording of a touchdown on a fumble recovery scenario by the offense for a touchdown. My guess would be like that. And John Balducci, a little off topic, but we should end this with that. Can we take a 20-second break to recognize one Wesley Reynolds for hitting not one, not two, but three PGA outright winners in a row? Yes. We should. Mazel tov to Wes.
Incredible heater from Wes. Yes. Three in a row on the PGA Tour. I don't care how you're betting, what you're betting. That is an incredible run by Wes to end his run with us here at VSiN on Long Shot. So we wish him all the best. He's going to keep crushing it out there somewhere. And man, three in a row. Three in a row is an incredible run in golf.
It's amazing. To Buffalo at Kansas City we go. The AFC Championship. Buffalo begins with Allen almost getting picked by Cook on the second play of the game and then picked by two defenders, Cook and Johnson, on the third play. A three and out for the Bills to start. And then KC goes nine plays, 90 yards. In a little over 5 minutes, Mahomes to Juju for 31. The big chunk, three plays later, Hunt in from 12. 7-0 Kansas City, 8:56 left in the first quarter. At that point, real quick, I'm like, oh, no. Is Buffalo now, is Allen nervous? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, that was weird.
7-3 now. Kansas City 2nd-and-2 at the Buffalo 23. Remember, earlier on this drive, Mahomes actually had fumbled, but a offside penalty on the Bills nullified it. But this 2nd-and-2 at the Buffalo 23, this time Mahomes fumbles on the exchange, and Ed Oliver recovers the first giveaway by the Chiefs in 83 drives. Or, if you want to change it to a different currency, 501 plays. Good God. Buffalo takes it. 10 plays, 72 yards, in 5 minutes and 32 seconds after a big 3rd-and-13, 24-yard hookup to Khalil Shakir from the 30. Cook in from 6. 10-7, Buffalo Billiards. 10:53 left in the second quarter. KC answers, though. 11 plays, 70 yards, 6 minutes, 12-second drive. 4th-and-1 at their own 39 after Hunt was stuffed on 3rd-and-1. There's a timeout, then Mahomes spins it for 6 yards. 7 plays later, Mahomes to Worthy from 11 out, 14-10 Chiefs, 4:13 left in the quarter. The second quarter, that is. Buffalo then a 3-and-out when Josh Allen goes low to Curtis Samuel on 2nd down. He could have gone forever if it was a good pass. So Kansas City now up 14-10 with a double dip chance. Nico Remigio with a 44-yard run back of a 45-yard Sam Martin punt. Set up at the Buffalo 34, 3rd-and-5 at the Buffalo 29. 26 to Worthy on a contested ball that looked like Cole Bishop had picked it or that it hit the ground, but was called a catch on the field and it survived review. Now, before we go on, let me just say this. There was a flag on Buffalo anyway. So this would not have been an interception and a change of possession, right? Kansas City was going to have the ball no matter what. So it does mute a potential controversy here a little bit, but it's still 20 yards forward from what the 5-yard penalty would have given it to a 20-plus yard play.
God, this game was awesome. But, Gil,
I don't know how that's a catch.
Oh, I don't. It was one of the more ridiculous calls in this game. I don't know how you could rule that a catch or an interception when I thought we had a very, very clear camera angle showing that ball slammed right into the ground.
Yeah, I don't know how that's a catch. Again, it would have been the Chiefs ball anyway.
Right.
So that needs to be said. But this already, I was kind of giggling to myself at this point because I'm like, here come the conspiracy theorists. Like, here we go. But that was kind of like, I have to say, like, I don't know how that was a catch. By the way, it leads to 3 plays later, Mahomes in from 21-10 Chiefs with 1:55 left in the second quarter. But to the Bills' credit, 7 plays, 73 yards in just 1 minute and 32 seconds. Allen to Hollins from 34 out. Extra point good, but offsides on the Chiefs. So the Bills say, hey, let's go for 2 from the 1. They sneak it from the 1 off left guard. The Chiefs have been scouting that tendency. No good. Stuffed. It remains 21-16 Chiefs into the break, into halftime.
Incredible.
After a Chiefs punt, Buffalo down 5, 12 plays, 80 yards. On a drive that took over 7 minutes. 4th-and-1 at the Kansas City 33. Allen for 3. 6 plays later, Allen pitches it to Cook, who's grazed by Justin Reed, then hits square in the back by Nick Bolton so that, you know, Cook's body sort of moves parallel to the goal line. but still before he lands, he has the presence of mind to lunge or to stretch the ball out over the goal line. Touchdown, Bills. What a play by Cook. That was awesome. Touchdown, 22-21, because they're only up one. They decide to go for two. That fails. 2:56 left in the third quarter. Bills up by one. Then another Kansas City three and out. Buffalo fourth and one at their own 48. Okay. Allen leaps over the pile for two. He gets it. Unclear if he ever fumbled. I guess he did. We never really saw it on the replay.
Yeah.
But he does recover it. And then four plays later, they're facing another fourth and one, this time at the Kansas City 41. Now, this play will live in infamy. And I'm guessing you and I are going to disagree here, because on the live broadcast, the way that the camera angle looks and where the line of scrimmage was, it looked like Josh Allen got the first down. But then when they went to replay and it was right down the line, Josh Allen never got to the sticks. He had the ball behind him and it never got there. And so this is the one. I'm with you, Bills fans, on that one that shouldn't have been a catch. The one that was, you know, the one that was somehow should have been a pick or could have been an incomplete pass and somehow they gave it to the Chiefs. This one, I'm not with you.
I thought it was pretty clear, Gil. But the thing is,
I didn't.
The thing is, with these kind of calls, they got to get, you know, you're not going to get passed or not. It's not going to get overturned, whatever's called on the field. And you had those two refs run in at very different points.
But people get fixated on the two refs running in. It has nothing to do with anything. On the replay where they're looking down the line, forget what the refs did afterwards. He never got the ball to the sticks.
Oh, I don't believe, however they called that on the field, I fully believe they would, that call would have stood.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I really don't. I know a lot of people are going to that. I'm not sure. Kansas City, of course, though. Five plays, 59 yards, took 241. They take over at their own 41 to Juju for 29 to the 23, the big chunk. I noted this at the time. I texted the group. I'm like, Juju just kind of ran out of bounds. Try to hit somebody. You're big. Try to get extra yards. Three plays later, Mahomes in from 10. By the way, Mahomes with a terrible spike after that, it should be pointed out. But what a play call. Hey, Mahomes, we're going to Jaden Daniels you. You're going to run this in. Nobody saw that coming. Two-point try to Justin Watson. Good. 29-22 Chiefs with 10:14 left. Bills come right back. Nine plays, 70 yards. Took 3:59 off the clock. Third and 8 at the Kansas City 36 to Hollins for 32. Then first and goal at the 4. Down 7. Allen stuffed. Second down. Incomplete. Third down. A fade route that had no chance of being complete. That was incomplete. Fourth and goal at the 4 to Curtis Samuel. Touchdown. We are tied at 29 with 6:15 left. Then the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes with the football with 6:15 left in a tie game. It's all you want. They matriculate. Second and 7 at the Buffalo 33 to Worthy for 23. Worthy kind of just glides out of bounds at the 10. I noted that at the moment. And this time it hurt him. Because then Mahomes got sacked, an incomplete pass made it third and goal to 17, then he had to throw it away, so it's a Butker 35-yard field goal. Yes, the Chiefs go up, 32-29 with 3:33 left, but a hush over the stadium a bit, even up three, because they know Josh Allen with plenty of time, 3 to tie, 7 to win, Buffalo gets it to 4th and 5 at their own 47 at the 2-minute warning. Not a decision for me, Romo tells Nance. Yeah, not a decision for anyone, Romo. Of course you go for it. And they do. Not a decision for me, Jim. Thanks, Tony. All out blitz. Allen does not see the blitz coming. He has to throw it up deep in the air, up for grabs. And Dalton Kincaid has a shot at into the Kansas City 35, and he can't come up with it. Oh. And by the way, someone then ruined the broadcast by telling Nance in his ear that there was a flag. So for about 5 to 7 seconds left, we were all wondering, what's the flag? There was no flag.
Got to make that catch.
Oh, we'll get to the end of this on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, now live 24-7 on SiriusXM channel 158. Whether you're at home, on the road, or on the go, now there's more ways than ever to tune into VSiN. Stream us live on VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, iHeartRadio, Fire TV, Roku, and now SiriusXM. Look at that, Kelly. Look at all those logos.
It's a lot.
Any way you take us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from Rhodes at Rhodes Knows.
I love this tweet.
How did Cook have so much success on the ground against the Chiefs and Allen was so meh? Was he sick? Even the play calling seemed off. Where were the shotgun runs we have seen have so much success? Remember, all year long, I kept saying the Bills' best play is Josh Allen shotgun, just taking the ball.
Yeah.
Running. Those were non-existent. I don't know about non-existent, but they were minimal. And James Cook only ended up with 13 carries and looked like he could do anything he wanted to.
Okay, so both of them are bizarre.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't, like, the Josh Allen one, I think I can explain more, which is just an exceptional performance by the Kansas City defense, because when they were trying short yardage stuff with Allen, you brought it up earlier, going off the left guard, going off left side, Chiefs were blowing it up. And I just don't think the Bills are used to failing that way. That's where that fumble that happened on the fourth down where he goes over the top. Why is Josh Allen going over the top? We never see him go over the top at midfield, because what can happen? You can fumble the ball. It's why you don't do it. I think Josh Allen was, I think the Chiefs were in his head at that point.
A lot had to do with crowd noise, I think, too. Like, everything was just a little off for the Bills, which, again, is like, hey, that's what happens when you don't have home field. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, again, this is a little quirk with us who watch football. Washington will be remembered as the team that was -4 in turnovers, because three of those fumbles, right? They had three fumbles, all recovered by Philly. Philly deserves all the credit, but, like, fumble luck is a thing. The Bills fumbled 4 times. Chiefs didn't recover one of them.
It's incredible.
And so we don't think about that. Like, as we move forward, we will never think about that. But it's fumble luck is a thing, and so it kept the Bills in the game. Yeah, go ahead.
No, James Cook. I cannot explain that one at all. He was awesome. I don't know how many times are you watching that game and you're like, where's James Cook? I just saw him bust off a huge run a few plays ago. He's the best player on the field right now for this offense. Where is he?
Judd O'Connor, this epidemic of going for two early before the fourth quarter is getting out of hand. Take the points early. Bills down 21-16, should be 21-17, then up 22-21, should be 24-21. We won't know for sure, but what we do know is 2 points matters. Yeah, but Judd, I hear what you're saying, Judd. On the other hand, there's a lot of, you know, the math actually works out too. I know people hate math on stuff like this, but expected points, it actually makes sense. And so because it doesn't result that way, oftentimes we then, you know, use it with that, you know, sort of, we're not talking about the process, we're talking about the results, and that's never a good thing either. Mariners Geek says, I had Sean Hockley anytime touchdown over a half, 50-1, should have cashed. Trip Tepper, my issue with the fourth down spot, the ref who spotted the ball had Josh Allen facing away from him and couldn't see the football. The other side judge could clearly see the ball and should have been the official to declare the spot. Trip, my point is, I don't care if the ball was spotted 4 yards forward for an obvious first down. On the replay, right? On the replay, to me, it was clear that he never got the ball there. Maybe I'm alone. To me, it was not about, I know people are focused on these refs coming in from both sides. It doesn't matter once the replay hits. We'll get to more of these because we have a bunch. But I want to get back to the end of this game. Again, I want to make this point about the Chiefs wide receivers as we head into the Super Bowl. Juju and Worthy I don't know if they fear contact, they're not interested in contact, but they just glide out of bounds. With the Juju one, it didn't matter, the Chiefs ended up scoring. But with the Worthy one, they ended up having to settle for a field goal, and I really do mean that. At 32-29, with 3:33 left, even though the Chiefs had taken the lead, it was like you could hear a pin drop from the broadcast there. So let's pick it up there again. So then the Bills get the ball down 3 to tie, 7 to win. 4th and 5 at their own 47, 2-minute warning. And that's when Romo goes in the, not a decision for me, Jim. I'm going to go for it. Okay, Tony. We all are. So all out blitz. Allen even said after the game, he said, hey, I didn't see anything about it after like the initial cadence. But they come to you. He has to throw it up deep in the air. Kincaid. Ugh. Dalton Kincaid. This ball lands at the 35-yard line exactly. Kincaid diving actually has a shot at it, the Kansas City 35. And he's diving exactly on the 35-yard marker. So like right towards us, and it hits his back shoulder, the one closest to the end zone. So it's like, that was just a weird thing for him. I know he's diving. I know it's in the moment, but it's like, wow, that's how they end up losing this game.
This is another one.
Could have caught that.
This is another one of these plays in the career of Josh Allen where you're like, what? When you go watch the wide field shot of that play, How does Josh Allen make that throw even to get it there?
And I know.
It's incredible. Now, and Kincaid should have caught it.
It's also no guarantee that the Bills would have kicked the field goal and tied it or won the game or whatever, but I'm just saying, oh my God, that's... I get back to, you know what I used to say about Tommy Hearns all the time? I've said it on the show many times. When we talk about boxing in the 80s and the welterweight division, I always say the hitman Tommy Hearns, his only crime in his boxing career was that he was born at the same time as Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler, right? He lost to Sugar Ray Leonard in what I think is the greatest fight of all time. Hearns Leonard won in 1981 when Hearns had a detached retina and came back to beat him. It's just amazing. And then, of course, he lost to Hagler a few years later in what was the greatest 8 minutes of boxing of any fight you've ever seen. And that was Hearns' only crime. And I'm wondering if we are now at the point with Josh Allen where his only crime is going to be that he was born at the same era as Patrick Mahomes.
I think we've hit that point.
Yeah.
I think we've hit that point. I personally, I mean, this is me, and yet, yes, I'm a little more Josh Allen biased than most. I think Josh Allen is going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't know if he'll be viewed that way, though, because of how many times he's been stopped at this point in the playoffs and by Patrick Mahomes specifically being in his way.
It's like I said, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are like, this is our second Super Bowl in 3 years, whereas Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Right, 1 and 2 for the MVP. Pick your order. They never been to a Super Bowl.
Can't
either
get
of
there.
Them.
Can't get.
And by the way, I meant this point again. This is a little bit of inside broadcasting. But at that point, someone is in Nance's ear, right? So Nance is going to take the blame. But someone is in Nance's ear saying there's a flag, and Nance is like, "There's a flag on the play," right? And so for 5 seconds, we're all like, "Wait a minute, does Buffalo still have the ball when Kincaid can't corral it?" And finally, it's Romo who says, "There's no flag. There's no flag, Jim."
They did everything. They threw up the graphic and everything.
And Nance even had to say afterwards a sort of mea culpa, like, "I thought there was a flag. There's no flag." So it's Kansas City ball. By the way, whoever said that to Nance in his ear probably got reamed for it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably got reamed for it. Kansas City takes over at the Buffalo 47. Buffalo has all three timeouts. They use their first after first down. Then Mahomes to Pacheco for a first, but Pacheco runs out of bounds. His foot hits out of bounds. They show a shot of Chris Jones on the sideline. It looked like someone stole his puppy.
I love Chris Jones.
Chris Jones is like, "I can't. Oh, my God. I can't believe he went out of bounds." Then it's 3rd and 9 at the Buffalo. I'm not sure what yard line it was with 1:35 left. This is where it's like, okay, is Buffalo going to get the ball back or not with some seconds left on the clock? Because they have no timeouts. So it would have been like 40 seconds-ish or something like that if the clock rolls after this play. But to P. Ryan for 17, ball game. And the Kansas City Chiefs score more than 30 for the first time this year.
Hey.
Remember, it was just them, the Patriots and the Raiders, who had not scored more than 30. This is the first time they scored more than 30 in their 32-29 win. Again, it is their 17th straight one-possession win, the most in the history, the longest streak in the history of the NFL, 12 of those this year, which is the most in any year. They're going to their 5th Super Bowl in 6 years after playing in their 7th consecutive AFC Championship. They are now the 4th team that will go to their 3rd straight Super Bowl. Miami, the Dolphins of the 70s, went to Super Bowls 6, 7, and 8. They went loss, win, win in those. Buffalo Bills of the 90s, the only team to have gone to 4 straight Super Bowls. Those were all losses to the Giants, Washington, and 2 to Dallas. And the New England Patriots of the 20-teens, who went to Super Bowls 51, 52, and 53. That was win, loss, win. So the Chiefs are trying to be the first team ever to win 3 Super Bowls in a row. This is history. They're 60 minutes away.
Can I address some conspiracy theories real quick?
Please.
The NFL and the sports books, or the sports books, however you look at it, are not in on some grand scheme to give the Chiefs everything, okay? Even us that have bet against them.
Yes.
I can sit here and say that, okay? And please, people really got to stop tweeting it and sending that stuff out there. Now, Gil, on the other hand, do the Chiefs save the good plays? Do they save some good plays? Oh, yeah. The Chiefs saved some good plays. That offense looked completely different yesterday and so much better than what we've seen at times this year.
Listen, if you're looking for a stat again, like, okay, what was the difference actually in this ball game, right? Like, what really was the separator? Well, on 3rd and 4th downs, the Bills were a combined 9 of 20. On 3rd and 4th downs, the Chiefs were 6 of 10.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get into third down nearly as many times as the Bills did.
Yeah,
the
like
Chiefs,
10 times.
The Chiefs made them work for everything. And eventually, it was just enough to beat the Bills. A little basketball break with Carl Sack next. Fezzik after that.